Team Las Vegas, and we want to hear from you. Call us at 364-1100. That's 364-1100. Now, live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Bernie Fratto and John Von Tobel.
Well, heading into tonight, it would have been an understatement to say these two teams were two peas in a pod. Air Force was 3-11 in conference play and 10-17 overall. UNLV was 3-11 in conference play and 10-17 overall. Air Force had a 6-game losing streak. UNLV had a 7-game losing streak. The Rebels' last win came January 21st against Air Force. And the Falcons' last win was January 24th. Both teams were tied heading into tonight for last place in the Mountain West Conference. Something had to give, and it did. The host Falcons came out of the gate, hotter than Jason McElwain, and they busted out a 10-point lead before the seats were warm. UNLV actually forged ahead, though, 24-22 at the 7:02 mark, but it was nothing but a mirage. A 12-2 Air Force run to end the half morphed into a 22-3 run, and at one point, the Rebels went almost 10 minutes without a field goal. In the second half, well, it couldn't end quickly enough, and in the end, Air Force came out on top, 81-58. UNLV is now 10-18 overall, 3-12 in Mountain West Conference play, and in addition to owning an 8-game losing streak, the Rebels have sole ownership of last place in the Mountain West Conference. Welcome back to another edition of Rebel Extra, the postgame show devoted to you, the fans and supporters of UNLV Run Rebel Basketball. Rebel Extra is brought to you by our proud sponsors, Angel Park, Legacy, and Durango Hills. OB Sports' most complete golf course experiences in Las Vegas. Diamondback Land Surveying, from brick walls to the Taj Mahal. Diamondback Land Surveying are your land surveying experts. 8-Ball Bail Bonds. If you had more fun at the game than the law allows, call 8-Ball Bail Bonds to get you out of jail. Pizza My Dear with a smoking lunch deal. A 12-inch pizza for only $5. With two locations to serve you, go to pizzamydear.com. We'll come to you after every game this season, folks. We want to hear from you. I really want to hear from you tonight. I'll tell you why in a minute. 364-1100. Give us a call. Be part of the action. Or you can text your thoughts, 69187. Please preface your text with ESPN 1100. Before I go any further, let me introduce my broadcast team. To my left, turning all the dials, keeping us glued together, is, of course, producer extraordinaire Bobby Machado. He'll also be taking all of your calls at 364-1100. To my right, joined by the gentleman who has his own show Sunday mornings across the hall on Fox Sports 1340. It's Call Out of Line, and his name is Brian Feldman. Brian, I'm going to begin with a question tonight, and in 6 years of doing this show, it's a question I've never even come close to asking, but I'm going to blurt it out. Given the cumulative effect of the losses in the last month and the wear and tear that this team has shown, have they thrown in the towel?
It's a very fair question, Bernie. You know, in the first half, I would have said they came out, they tried to play hard. The 10th-year senior, Zach Coker, couldn't miss as he hit his first three three-pointers.
Wide open, I might add.
Wide open. But they made that 12-2 run. It looked like they got back in the game, and I think they almost amazed themselves that they got back in the game, and then it was right back to the 2016-17 version of UNLV running Rebels.
And the Rebels, again, took the lead 24-22, but how? They hit four of their first six threes. For the game, they were 7-21, so they were 3 of their next 15. But the fact of the matter is Air Force really seemed to want this game. They were getting back on defense even after made baskets. They come out in a zone, a 2-3 zone, and the Rebels did very little to attack those gaps. And early on, turned the ball over four times right away. Many of those were inlet passes where the Rebels failed to seal off a defender. And Air Force did what they do. Coker hit three straight threes, and at the first time out, Menzies, you know, it's the 16-25 mark. The score was Zach Coker 9, UNLV Runner Rebels 2. And from there, it just seemed to set the tone for the evening. And I've got to believe Coach Menzies is absolutely at his wit's end. I actually am expecting callers tonight to somewhat hold Menzies' feet to the fire, but I'm still sticking with my hall pass phenomenon, as it were. That's not the right word, but you get where I'm going with that. At some point, the players have to step up. The players have to show desire. The players have to show some consistency and awareness. There's an old saying, no jockey ever carried a horse over the finish line. So the players have to grit it out. And I guess the reason I asked the question is there are three games left before the conference tournament. Is there going to be carryover from this loss? And that's why I'm asking the folks, 364-1100, do you think this team has quit?
Yeah, I don't know that they've quit, Bernie. They're college athletes. They're going to come out on Saturday, and they'll try to compete against Reno, as you know. But it is a very fair question because at the end of the game, they're standing around. I mean, how many open looks are you going to give a team? Yes, Air Force played with purpose tonight. No question about that. They looked like they wanted to win. As you mentioned, they came out smoking hot. I mean, the field goal percentage was ridiculous. However, you've got to hold Marvin Menzies accountable a little bit, Bernie. I want to give the guy a hall pass. I think everybody does, but it doesn't seem, I don't see improvement. Guys
no.
have to learn. And Robert Smith said it on the game during the game tonight. He said, they're making the same mistakes over and over and over again. At some point, how do you curtail that? You've got to be able to stop it.
One of the issues I believe the Rebels had, and I felt it was even early in the game, they looked gassed. Chuck Ndombele looked gassed early on. In the first 8 minutes, again, UNLV turned the ball over four times. Air Force had 4 3-pointers. Air Force was actually running an offense that looked to be designed that you would run against a zone. They would, you know, a lot of ball movement, cuts, screens, backdoor plays that the Rebels couldn't react to. The Rebels started out in a 2-3 zone. Then they switched to a 1-2-2 matchup zone. They even went to man in the second half. But irrespective of what they did, they didn't stay with their men. They didn't close out on shooters. Almost everybody was guilty at one point. There were just simply too many uncontested shots. And Air Force has always been a pretty good shooting team. They showed it tonight. 47% from the floor, 54% from behind the arc, 14 to 26. And by the way, 13 to 17 from the free throw line, 77%. Their big five, Graham, Coker, Scotty, Louder, and Jacob Van, they combined for 67 points, outscoring the entire Rebel team by 9.
Hayden Graham is one of the guys that has to be watched, Bernie. He's the player that was hitting the three-pointers the last time they played in overtime. And it was amazing. At the end of the first half, he hit 2 completely uncontested three-pointers, and the Rebels were in the game. They were right there. As you mentioned, you know, they got back in the game. They took a lead late, and all of a sudden, they just fell apart at halftime, and they carried that over into the second half. I don't understand how they don't get out on defense, Bernie. And you know, we talked a little bit about Jalen Poizer before the show, and I just don't understand that those 4 seconds to go, he stood there. And it was a little bit of a screen, and I mean, I could have covered him better. I'm 54 years old, and I could have at least gotten out and put a hand in his face. How do you coach that? Bernie, that's a mistake. You see it on film. How many times are you going to see it before a player recognizes it and does something about it?
Well, in the second half, it was very bothersome in the sense that the Rebels really played very little defense. They played really no defense. It started to look like the NBA All-Star game, for crying out loud. And they abandoned their inside game with about 13 minutes to go in the game. And the game really sort of decided they were down by about 18. The Rebels even abandoned their inside game. They'd come down, jack up a long three that was ill-advised early in the clock. Air Force would get the ball, go back the other way, and the Rebels wouldn't stay with their man. And whether it be, getting blown by on a backdoor cut and not reacting and no help D, pick your poison. It didn't seem to matter. I didn't even mention turnovers. Air Force, 28 points tonight on 15 UNLV turnovers. That was also problematic. Even in the first half, right out of the gate, the first 12, 13 minutes, Air Force had 10 points off of 6 UNLV turnovers. And couple that with UNLV defensive breakdowns and their inability to have efficient offensive possessions, and that's how you end up losing by 23 at Air Force. The Rebels lost by 23 points to a team that prior to tonight had 3 wins in conference.
It's amazing. It truly is amazing. And later in the game, as you mentioned, they completely, as you said, are they throwing in the towel? At about the 13-minute mark of the second half, it was no longer a basketball game. I was watching a playground or listening to teams play on the playground, and the one kid team, you know how the kids are all overmatched? They got you pick the five bottom kids and you put them out there, and they're just kind of standing like, well, we can't win this game. And it really seemed like that was the reaction of these players. You can see it in their face. You can hear it in the announcers' voices. And if you're Marvin Menzies, what do? You keep talking about this hall pass, Bernie.
Well, again, let me
clarify that. It again, because
all right, I've done it. I'm going to do it again. A hall pass is defined by me as this for this situation. It's not cradle to grave security. It's not that you can't scrutinize his style. It's not that you can't second guess or comment on the results. What I'm essentially saying is I'm not going to allow this season to define whether or not Marvin Menzies was the right hire or is capable of getting UNLV, making the Rebels successful again, or getting back to the postseason tournament. That's all I'm saying. Now, I will tell you the inconsistency for me, and this goes back to the beginning of the year, has always been baffling, where the Rebels have shown they could play at a high level for a while, but they can never sustain it. Even tonight, okay, Jalen Poyser, the mystery man who didn't play at all Saturday, he hits a three to put UNLV up 21-20. UNLV had a 12-2 run of their own, right? Air Force gets the lead back. Poyser comes down, hits another three at the 7:02 mark. The game is tied 24-24. Neither team scores for 2 minutes and 33 seconds. Why? The Rebels played some pretty good defense. And Air Force was playing some pretty good defense. And add to the fact that neither offense was exactly clicking well, but give the defense credit. No points for either team for 2 minutes and 33 seconds. Mooring makes a steal, takes it to the hole, gets fouled, makes both free throws. That ends the drought for both teams. The Rebels go up 26-24, right? I'm saying to myself, maybe the Rebels can reach back tonight and win a game. Long way to go, but let's see what happens from here. And the light at the end of the tunnel was nothing more than another oncoming train. That's when the real runs started for Air Force, and it all began when Jalen Poyser was out of position. Frank Tui blows by him, and Poyser fouls him. Tui gets the layup and one at 3:22, and something happened from there. I really can't describe what happened. I don't know, other than the fact that Air Force finishes the half on, I think it was a 12-2 run. It ends with Jacob Van hitting a wide-open three with just a second or two on the clock to make it 38-28. And right out of the gate to start the second half, Zach Coker hits a wide-open three. Javon Mooring didn't even contest it. And there was a stretch where Rebels were standing around, no energy at all. Air Force morphs that into a 22-3 run. And it took a Christian Jones layup power to the hole to sort of stop the bleeding, as it were, but it was too late. At that point, UNLV had gone almost 10 minutes without a field goal, and now they trailed by 17. And what are they doing? Javon Mooring, long bomb threes, air balls, Menzies, early in the clock, looking at the team like, what is going on here? Calls a timeout. You tell me how you coach them out of that. If you don't have Division I players, and maybe we don't, then they're going to be exposed over the course of a four-month season. I don't care what conference it is. And you have to give Air Force respect. They always play well in Clune Arena. Even when the Rebels were good, they were always about 500 there. They're 10-6 at home there. And I think Dave Pilipovich has it out for UNLV. I don't think he likes the school. I think he disrespects UNLV. He's made some untoward comments in the past. They were somewhat sanctimonious. And I think he loved every minute of it when they ran up the score tonight. Face it, Air Force was hot. Give him credit. They're not this good. The Rebels made them look better than they were, but a lot of it was as a result of wide-open shots and lackadaisical defense, and that's bothersome.
No question about it, and I think you're 100% right about Pilipovich having it out for him. But, Bernie, here's what I say and why I say the evaluation process. In the game, Christian Jones, at about the midway point of the first half, had two excellent D1 plays on the inside. They worked the ball around the perimeter. They got it into Jones, and he laid the basket in, laid it in twice with his with the left hand. Excellent basketball plays. How do you not? And we have seen this. We have seen spurts of this in almost every game this season where they have made a couple of plays. How do you not take about that 3-minute stretch right there if you're Marvin Menzies on film, sit the guys down and say, watch what you did as a team when you played basketball, when you played fundamental basketball.
How do you know
basketball.
He's not?
I just don't understand. If he is, why do they get away from it? I mean, they go right back to the chucking up the threes, and here we go again after you make some great basketball plays.
That's who they are, Brian.
Oh, my God.
Let's go
it's
back to January
hell,
21st.
Man.
How did UNLV beat Air Force? Long bomb banked in threes from 35 feet. Frank Tuohy stepped out of bounds, which gave Air Force life. That opened the door for Javon Moyne to hit that three. They've done nothing but hit Hail Marys all year. That's a fact. Now, the New Year's Eve Day game against Wyoming, I thought was their most legitimate win because it was like a golf shot that checks up on the green, right? They just looked good doing it. They ran a lot of ball screens, excellent pick and rolls, opened the door to hit some mid-range jumpers. Javon Moyne, that day, established himself as the point guard, proved he could play the position, could not only play the position with his eyes and set his teammates up, he could still break you down off the dribble, he could still hit the follow-away shot, he could still hit the three. But that day, they ran their offense like a well-oiled machine. The game in New Mexico, they stole one. They were down by 13 early, and I think New Mexico was coming off that 25-point lead they blew against Nevada. They weren't right. Mitch and Pritch talked about it that day. They think they had a funny feeling that New Mexico was ripe and the Rebels took advantage of it. But the Air Force win at home on January 21st in double overtime, it was a little goofy. It wasn't pretty. They pulled it off. Tonight, I felt like Air Force wanted to pay him back. Remember, they had a six-game, their Falcons had a six-game losing streak as well.
81-58, though. Talk about paying them back. This was ridiculous. And again, I understand what you're saying. It is who they are. But you have plays that you can lean on in practice and in film sessions to show them, hey, this is when we do well. When they got back into the game, granted the 12-3 run, or the 12-2 run, I think there were 3 three-pointers in that 12-2 run, so that takes away from a little bit what I was saying.
Well, you're right. Moring hit a three and Poizer hit 2 threes, and that's what they
do. I think Green hit one and Poizer hit one. Green hit one also, I believe,
okay.
In the 12-3. But either way, what I don't understand is, again, you have some fundamental plays, and they run these plays, and you can see them. They're designed plays. I don't understand if they run these designed plays, why he continues to get away from
that. That all sounds good, Brian, but to steal a line from Mike Tyson, everybody's got a plan until they get hit. And I think what is happening now is the cumulative effect of losses, some were close losses, some were blowouts, is really starting to, make the scab bleed a little bit. And you can't tell me the Rebels in the second half gave the kind of effort we were used to seeing early in the year. 364-1100, folks, we want to hear from you. This is a caller-driven show. If you don't want to call, that's okay, too. Brian and I can talk all night. But what really makes the show are the fans and supporters of the team who at one time liked this team but don't want to show up anymore. I know you've got opinions. I know you're out there listening. People are following this team from a distance now. They're not as engaged. Some people are. Some people aren't. There's only 3 shows left in the year after tonight. So here's your chance. Let's get the ball rolling. Let's get started. Let's go out to Kevin. Kevin, welcome back to Rebel Extra. Get us started, buddy.
Hey, guys. Just an ugly game. The thing that I don't understand is why you can't make Air Force put the ball on the floor. I mean, I know you guys are just talking about it. If a coach tells me, just turn them into drivers, just make them dribble, don't give them open looks, I could do that and be a non-athlete and not have a brain. Just, okay, I'm going to see that guy over there? Yeah. Don't let him shoot and make him put on the floor. That's not hard to do, Bernie. That's not hard to
do. In theory.
You should be able to get your players to do that.
I'll tell you what, Kevin, regardless of what defense the Rebels employed tonight, they started out with, a 3-2 zone, and then they went to a 1-2-2 matchup zone. Then in the second half, they switched to man, and all that did was open the door for Air Force to run backdoor cuts, head fakes, shoulder fakes. They cut to the basket. They picked us apart. All right, set that aside. I asked a question at the top of the show. Given the cumulative effect of these losses, does this team quit, Kevin?
The I can't answer that. I don't know. They're checked out. Yeah, they're checked out. But, you know, just like a lot of, you know, we all have jobs maybe. You know, people don't like their job at certain points in their life. These guys probably want the season to be over. And I'll tell you what, and I'll let you guys go on with your show. UNR, give them the chance Saturday. They will embarrass UNLV. I mean, Rice and Musselman, they will thump UNLV so hard. They want that score to be 160 Saturday when they come down here.
Hey, by the way, Kevin, you've been a rock-solid, interesting, and you know, caller with a lot of good material over the last 2-3 years. Do you remember Caller Haas? Whatever happened to Caller Haas? I've actually had people asking me that listen to the show around town. Haas was what, like a fan favorite last year. Do you remember him as a caller?
Yeah, I do.
All right, I'm putting out
the name.
I'm putting out an APB, Haas. I want to hear from you now, all right?
Hey. It's a transient town. Who knows? He could be in Barstow.
Well, he can hear us online. He can fire up the Commodore 64 and listen to us on the computer. Any final
thoughts?
I'll
tell you what, guys, they will thump them. UNR will embarrass UNLV on Saturday if they let them.
You want to give a score?
I could see it 97-63. It could be that
30
bad.
30 points, 34
yeah,
points.
They're going to thump them. I mean, the line will be what, 12? UNR minus 12?
I don't think it'll be that high.
Nine
on the home
half,
floor? You know, my head is spinning. The Rebels will be a sizable dog. I'm thinking it'll be like 9. But the market will decide. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
All right, guys.
All right. Always appreciate it, Kevin. Thanks for your thoughts. Do you think, you know?
You know, it's funny, Bernie. I actually had my prediction for the game. Ironically, I had the score 81-65 Saturday as my prediction.
Is that
and,
right?
And they got beat by 81 points, or 81 scored against them tonight. Yeah, 81-65 is my prediction for Saturday. I would like to obviously see them come out and compete. I would like to see the Thomas and Mack. I mean, Len Jessup is offering to give away tickets. I'd love to see people come out to the Thomas and Mack and support this squad. We know what they are. We have seen it. I don't even want to call it a work in progress. Nobody's trying to blow sunshine anywhere right now other than to say this is the UNLV Running Rebels right now and come out and support them on Saturday. I mean, I don't know what else to say, Bernie. Make that place rocking. Did you see what Reno was when UNLV came down?
Yeah.
They knew they were going to beat them. That place was insane.
Yeah, Michael Buffer, the whole deal. All right, back out to the phone lines. We're joined by Alan. Alan, welcome to Rebel Extra. How are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
Wonderful.
As far as holding Menzies accountable, I think you absolutely have to hold him accountable.
Okay.
He makes six figures a year. If I wasn't held accountable for making six figures a year, then I'd love that job. But, you know, aside from that, you know, when the team doesn't respond to the coach, there's a problem, and he's got to get that discipline going. It doesn't matter what their win-loss record is right now. That's just showing a lack of discipline if they're not following their coach and embarrassing the coach.
Or maybe they're just not good enough, Alan. I mean, Marvin Menzies has juggled the starting lineup. He benched Jalen Poyser Saturday for a breach of team rules. I think over the course of the year, he's not been unwilling to yank guys. Your point is duly noted. At some point, you have to respond. I think where my argument falls to the ground is it's one thing to get beat by Air Force. It's another thing to get beat by 23, or the way the double-digit margins that they're losing every game.
Yeah, and that's what's going on is it's getting perpetually worse. You know, we were losing close, and now we're just getting blown out. It seems like we don't quit early on, but when the going gets tough, we quit.
That's been happening, and that's why I said at the top of the show the cumulative effect – of losing has it started to wear this team out, all right?
And it has. And I think, you know, if I was in his shoes, once I start seeing players quit out there standing around, start putting other players in. I don't care how they played in practice during the week. If your players out there standing around, put in Bush, put in whoever, put in the athletic trainer. You know, if somebody's going to play, put them in there.
Give Georgie a shot.
Exactly. Why not?
Yeah, where has Georgie been?
You have
why not give the
lose?
Kid a shot?
All right. Thanks a lot.
You have absolutely nothing to lose.
That's right. At this point, you don't. And, Brian, you alluded to that off air in terms of guys that are, you know, aren't going to be here next year. Christian Jones.
Uchiha Fabu.
I mean, your point is duly noted. With three games left in the year, you have to be that much more discretionary in terms of the final evaluation at game speed as to who is going to be here next year and who can contribute and who's a D1 player from a D1 wannabe. And I think the cumulative effect All right, they're now 28 games in. There's no mystery. You know who the, you know who these guys are, right? It's who they are. It's just hard to ascertain the fact that a program defined as a one-time national champion, I don't care if it was 1990. They did it, all right? UNLV is a brand. Swept by San Jose State, losing by 23 at Air Force, and on down the line. He's Brian Feldman. I'm Bernie Fratto. Rebels fall tonight at Air Force, 81-58. You heard that right. Unfortunately, it's their eighth straight loss. They're now in sole possession of last place. But we've got more show for you. We're going to take a quick break, and on the other side, we're going to catch up with Mark Anderson, the beat writer for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He was in Air Force tonight, and we'll find out just how much he enjoyed himself or not. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Rebel Extra.
Text the show by sending ESPN to 69187 or give us a call at 364-1100. This is Rebel Extra.
Back on Rebel Extra, ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM. I'm Bernie Fratto. He is Brian Feldman, and Bobby Machado is producing your calls, 364-1100. Rebels fall tonight at Air Force, 81-58. Yes, you heard that correct. 81-58. At this time, we're joined by the gentleman who was there at Clune Arena tonight, the beat writer for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. That would be one Mr. Mark Anderson. Mark, before we get to the meat of our conversation, was it cold and icy at all tonight outside in Colorado?
Only inside. It's actually unseasonably warm outside.
Interesting. So there's a reason for me asking the question. 37 years ago today, the United States hockey team with Mike Arrosione beat the Russians. It was classic. Known as the Miracle on Ice, and I'm just wondering, what would have been a bigger miracle, that game or the Rebels winning tonight in Clune?
Oh, definitely the hockey team.
All right. Well,
you're the greatest
sports nice guy,
event
yeah.
in history.
Yeah. Well, listen, Mark, I asked a question at the top of the show in my 6 years doing the show. Never even came close to even pondering a question of this nature. But given the cumulative effect of the losses of this team, and now they're double-digit losses and they're growing one on top of another, and this is Air Force now, right? We're not talking about North Carolina.
Right.
Has this team quit? Because I saw some things in the second half, Mark, that were pretty bothersome.
Yeah, I'm always hesitant to say team quits because you don't know what's inside their heart. I tend to attribute more to they just don't have confidence right now. And so when you're playing without confidence, it can look like you quit, and maybe to some extent you have. That's just something I'm always hesitant to say about any team and about any player. But to me, it's clear they just have no confidence right now. And when they hit that 10 minutes a stretch without a field goal,
right.
I mean they just couldn't. They didn't know how to react to that. And they were actually playing pretty well right before that. So, but once they get that adversity, that it just is. You know, early in the season, they actually handled adversity pretty well. They won some games, some close games. That they had to make some plays late, but during the stretch they're on now, anything negative that's significant that hits them, they just seem like they fall apart.
Marvin Menzies has got to be talking to these guys. They're watching film. He's calling plays. I saw some great plays. I can say they're great plays in the first half. A couple of plays to inside to Christian Jones in the first half were D1 basketball plays. Then you hear Robert Smith talking about on the radio. They're making the same mistakes over and over again. And Bernie said it, you know, we had callers asking the question, and I'm going to ask you this. Is it a matter of them not getting it, that they just don't get the instruction, or are they just simply not good enough?
Yeah, I think it's both, and Marvin has talked about it all season that they don't play smart basketball, and they don't follow the scouting report. Well, I mean, you know, there's three games left in the regular season. If they're not going to get it now, they're just not going to get it. And you know, there's a talent issue there too. I mean, they can't shoot. I mean, they're last in the league in shooting percentage by a long margin. Morgan is the only one who's really capable of carrying this team at times offensively. Yeah, but you know, he had 10 points tonight, and when he has 10 points, they're probably not going to get it done, and that was the case tonight. And it's not fair to put it all on him, but that's just kind of where they are.
Mark, the game opened up, Zach Coker 9, UNLV 2, and I didn't think in any of his shots they were properly contested. One particular shot, Ofebu didn't close out. Another shot. You know, later in the game, Jalen Poizer, Coker blows by Poizer. He lays it up, and then the Rebels get the ball. Poizer angrily goes the other way, jacks up a three early in the clock. I think Marvin Menzies, the poor guy, was tearing his hair out. I saw other situations where Graham would be open for a wide open, you know, a wide open three. No one would contest or close out on him. We saw this repeatedly. Mm-hmm. Tyrell Green was guilty. Most of them were guilty at one point. When Lavelle Scotty hit a three to put Air Force up 56-33. Tyrell Green might have just been tired, but he just simply didn't close out. They didn't get out, get a hand up. That's more than just lack of confidence. I can't defend this effort tonight. I will lose my credibility if I defend this effort tonight.
No, the effort wasn't there, and there's no question about it. I'm always just hesitant to say whether guys quit. I mean,
it's cliche. Just, you know what I mean? We're not going to win, so why play hard? I hate to say it and be so crass or be so curt, but that's what I'm seeing now. We're talking.
Yeah.
Mark, this team hasn't lost nine games in a row since 1958. The program was born in 1958. They lost their first nine games, and if the Rebels beat Reno Saturday, there's another nine-game losing streak.
Right.
No, it's like to me.
I get what you're saying. I agree. The effort was not there at all. At least it wasn't there at all once they hit that 10-minute skid. And you know, in Tyrell Green, we've seen it before from him. He's an emotional player, and when things don't go well, he tends to check out. And I think you're seeing that from the team as a whole. I mean, even Mooring tonight, you know, he seemed like something was missing from him. He's one guy you can count on to go full bore all the time, and I didn't really see that from him tonight. And so, yeah, I mean, I just think they just don't believe in themselves, and you know, when things go bad, you know, the effort's just not there. So I don't want to say they quit. I mean, on the season, I'm hesitant to say they did that, but you can say, points here and there. Yeah, they definitely quit.
Yeah, and I don't say I'm right there with you, Mark. You can't judge the size of a person's heart or what's going on inside of them. But I think it's more not quitting as much as expecting to lose. It's almost like when they punched a nose in front and went on that 12-2 run. They surprised themselves, and then they went right back to what we've been seeing all year after a couple of nice basketball plays. Granted, there were a couple of threes in there, but a few nice basketball plays, and then they just went back to being themselves of what we expect of them. And again, I think it's more playing expecting to lose. They're out there competing, but they don't expect to win. I got to ask you, though, we're getting close to the end of the season, three games left. It's almost a wash. Not that you want to give up or anything, but what about a guy like Georgi Slavkanin? Why would this guy, you know he's a project, you know he's probably still going to be here next year. Why wouldn't you put him on the floor? What does it matter at this point in time?
Yeah, I mean, when they're getting blasted late in the game, I think you should put him on the floor at that point. Just to get him some playing time and nothing else. And I know right now he's really a practice player, but you know, how many times is he going to get a chance to play? So, and this was a great chance tonight. You know, they were way down. They weren't coming back to win this game. You can get him out there for 4 or 5 minutes. And I don't see why that couldn't have happened.
And Brian, I will see your Georgi Slavkanin and up it with Zion Morgan and Larry Bush, who combined for all the 3 minutes tonight. And when you consider the fact the Rebels had 15 turnovers, which led to 28 Air Force points, and every time Air Force had the ball, I saw excellent ball movement. They found the gaps in the UNLV zone, and when UNLV switched to man, what does Air Force do? Well, that opened the door for Air Force to run their backdoor cuts. They had head fakes, shoulder fakes, cutters. They're running an offense. So Mooring, maybe, you know, and give the kid credit. He's been a highlight film this year. He's been a key contributor in a couple of very nice wins, not the least of which at the Pit and then on New Year's Eve Day against Wyoming. Why not put a Larry Bush or a Zion Morgan and let them run the point for a half?
Yeah, I don't know if Marvin would be willing to give up the whole half to those guys, but I don't disagree that, you know, get him in there for extended minutes. And
but think
especially
about,
when
but
you're
think
getting
about
your butt kicked already.
But Brian brought this up off air. At some point, philosophically, with three games left to go, right,
Yeah.
I didn't feel down 38-28. I saw no evidence that the Rebels were going to mount a second-half comeback. None. I thought
I thought they looked tired.
So why not evaluate players that haven't had a lot of minutes and put them in situations and show you what they got at game speed, because they're running out of time. And I really believe, based on what I'm seeing now, that at the end of the year, Coach Menzies is going to have some hard conversations with some players. And there are of course, going to be a few guys back next year from this roster. But I think there might be more than people realize that won't be. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think so, too. Right now they have one remaining scholarship spot available to give, but you know they're going to have more than that. I would be shocked if there aren't at least three or four more spots opened up. I figured that going into the season. You get a program that's rebuilding like this almost from the ground up. You recruit over the guys you signed.
Sure.
And that's the only way to build it up. You can't just keep going with the same guys. So I figured going into the season that there was going to be a little bit of an overhaul afterward. And nothing's happened to change my mind. In fact, only reinforced it. And so, I don't know. I don't want to speculate in which players I think might come and go or might stay or go. But I think he'll be. I would think it'd be about three or four players who I think you'll see leave and either be on their own or will be asked to leave, and then those spots will be opened up for recruiting.
Yeah, I think three or four, aside from the two seniors that are leaving. Mark.
Right, that's what I mean in addition to, yeah.
Yeah, so probably you're looking at half the team is gone. I want to ask you, and I'm going to talk about this, my final thoughts tonight, I'll give you my opinion on this, but I really am excited and want to hear yours. You're Marvin Menzies right now. What do you do?
I don't think he knows what to do. I really don't. I've gotten this sense for a few weeks now that he's kind of run out of answers, and I got that sense even more so tonight that he's talking about, well, maybe we need to change the way we communicate. Maybe I need to get the assistants more involved. You know, three games left in the regular season, it's not the time to be asking those questions. I don't think he knows what to do. And I don't know there's a whole lot he can do. I mean, it's just a bad team. It's a really bad shooting team. They have one guy who's kind of dynamic. They have a bunch of projects. They have guys who might develop into decent players, but right now they don't have a team that can go out and compete.
Thought. That in and of itself, you capsulized right there. Mm-hmm. They don't have a team. We now know after 28 games that really can't compete. Over the course of 4 months, if you're not a Division I basketball player through and through, you're going to be exposed. And there's an old saying, and I've said it earlier in the show, so folks, if you heard it before, put up with it. I think it's kind of a cute line. No jockey ever carried a horse over the finish line. So these players have to step up. Mark, final thoughts, and we'll let you run.
Well, it's funny. I was what you just said, I was watching this game tonight, and I started thinking about how, you know, it's in conference play where teams really know you and really,
absolutely,
and that's where they have the most tape on you. If you got weaknesses, that's where they're going to attack you. Where the non-conference teams, they didn't have the video on these guys, and so you'll be able to get away with stuff. They can't get away with stuff anymore.
No, well said. All right, let's talk to you again Saturday after the Reno game. We'll see you out to Thomas and Mac. Thanks for your efforts, Mark. Safe travels back.
Thank you very much. Enjoy doing the show.
All right, that's Mark Anderson, beat writer of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. When we come back, we're going to take our final break of the evening, and when we come back, we'll take a tour over a full Mountain West Conference slate tonight. Some pretty good games out there. We'll wrap up some final numbers and a quick look ahead to Reno. Don't go away, folks. You're listening to Rebel Extra.
Text the show by sending ESPN to 69187 or give us a call at 364-1100. This is Rebel Extra.
Wrapping it up on Rebel Extra, ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM. Bernie Fratto, he's Brian Feldman, Bobby Machado producing. UNLV falls tonight at Air Force, 81-58. Eighth loss in a row, now sole possession of last place in the Mountain West Conference. Brian, it is a busy Mountain West Conference slate tonight. Bring us up to date.
Well, you know, last night, of course, Colorado State beat New Mexico at the Pit, the revenge game, 68-56. Tonight, Nevada University of Nevada, Reno were behind almost the entire game at home playing Boise State for first place in the Mountain West. UNR wins that win 85-77. And Utah State goes on the road at San Jose State, our opponent next week, or UNLV's opponent, and wins 81-75. And at the half, it was 30-24, San Diego State. Fresno comes out at San Diego State and scores the first 5 points in the second half. Last I heard, 35-24 in that one.
So last night I watched the entire Colorado State game. It was a revenge game of sorts. If you knew what happened earlier in the year when New Mexico beat Colorado State by double digits up at their place at Moby, outstanding effort by Emmanuel Amogbo, who had a tragedy last year, double-double, 17 and 14, and John Clavel making a case for the player of the year in the Mountain West Conference. Just a gritty, gritty effort last night. Same with Reno tonight. They trailed most of the way against Boise State. I felt Reno would be the team to win this conference. They've had a chance to put a stamp on it for a couple of weeks. They haven't been able to. They hold on for the win. They're the next opponent for the Rebels Saturday at 3 o'clock here at the Thomas and Mack. Meanwhile, you mentioned Utah State going on the road and beating what's been an overachieving San Jose State team this year. A week from tonight, 8 o'clock tip at the Thomas and Mack will be the final home game here at the Thomas and Mack. That's the Department of Redundancy Department, against Utah State, who won tonight on the road at San Jose State. And, of course, you recall Utah State beat the Rebels by double digits at the Glenn Event Center, or whatever the hell that thing's called. But the bottom line is no rest for the wicked. You've got Reno at home, Utah State at home, and then at Fresno State, who's beating San Diego State by 9 right now. Tough sledding these next three games. Two of them are at home. I hope there's a turnout Saturday. I'd really like to see a nice packed house. It just makes for a much more enjoyable fan experience. If the Rebels fall Saturday, they'll be 500 this year. They'll have a 500 record this year at the Thomas and Mack. That to me, that's unthinkable. Which means that if the Rebels, I'm looking ahead, why not? A week from tonight, if the Rebels don't take care of business against Utah State a week from tonight, Brian, in other words, in their final two home games, if the Rebels are not victorious in both, they're going to be 500 or below 500 this year at home. That's unthinkable.
It truly is. I mean, the Thomas and Mack has been a magical place for UNLV for years. And it, Bernie, it's head-scratching. It really is. I don't get it. And the Mountain West is a bit of a surprise this year. I still think Reno is the best team in the Mountain West, Bernie. They've just been surprisingly inconsistent. And again, not that I want to spend a lot of time on it, but again, Colorado State, we talked about them. You saw the revenge game last night. The job Larry Eustace done cannot go unrecognized. 7 players. But as you mentioned, it's just unfortunate because in the Mountain West Conference Tournament, to try to win 3 games in 3 days with 7 players, if he does that, he might have to be considered in the National Coach of the Year.
They may well be able to do it. If you watch the way they play, how efficient they are. And this kid, Johnny Gillen, who transferred to Syracuse, had a big bucket tonight to beat Duke. Can you imagine if he was still there?
No, they'd be they're good without him. I know I can't imagine, especially
and they
right
didn't
now,
have John Clavel for a lot of November when they, you know, they lost some games and then he came back and they were out of sync and they lost like 3 in a row when he came back. This Fresno State team, you can't go to sleep on them. They're the defending Mountain West Conference Tournament champion. They were the only team to get the bid from the Mountain West Conference last year, went and lost to Utah. They're having their way with San Diego State. They're up 37-29 with 15-11 to go. It's a gritty, it's one of those fist fight in the phone booth games. Fresno State has also beaten Reno twice this year.
I was just going to tell you, I think Rodney Terry is one of the most underrated coaches in the country.
You know, people bag on the Mountain West Conference. You can't bag on the coaches. Mm-mm. You just mentioned Larry Eustace. What, 600-800 career wins? Same with Steve Fisher and a national championship at Michigan. And look what
Musselman,
he's done at San Diego State. Yeah.
Some great
Musselman,
coaches.
Rodney Terry. A lot of good coaches in this conference. Okay, folks, that's going to do it for tonight's edition of Rebel Extra. On behalf of my broadcast team, Brian Feldman, and producer extraordinaire, Bobby Machado, I'm Bernie Fratto bidding you good night. Next up for the Runner Rebels, as we said, Saturday, 3 p.m. at the Thomas and Mack. A date with Reno. There are all sorts of storylines surrounding this game. It should be very entertaining. Would it be too much to ask for the folks to come out one time and support this team. Saturday, 3 o'clock at the Thomas and Mack. So we'll see you then, hopefully. In the meantime, tonight's final score, Air Force Falcons 81, UNLV Runner Rebels 58. Good night, folks. Thanks a lot for listening tonight, and go Rebels.